Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
And we welcome you to this edition of Tuesday People, the podcast. I'm your host, Mitch Albom. I'm the author of the book Tuesdays with Maury, upon which this podcast is inspired every week, as we're in our fifth year of doing it now. Lisa Goich has produced every episode of the podcast, every single one. 202 episodes, and I can't believe that we've gone 202 episodes, and I haven't spoken about what I'm going to speak about today, which is not really a lesson per se, but part of the Tuesdays with Maury legacy, I guess. So when I wrote Tuesdays with Maury, as I've told the audience many times over, it was a labor of love to pay Maury's medical bills. I had been visiting with him as he had been dying from Lou Gehrig's disease. We did a last class together on what's important in life once you really know you're going to die. We taped our conversations, and when it became apparent to me that Maury didn't have money to pay his medical bills and that he was taking that to the grave with him as something he's very upset about, I decided maybe I could find a way to write a book that could help him pay his medical bills. And just a few weeks before he died, we found one publisher after everybody else had basically told us, no thanks, not interested. And we were able to get enough money to pay his medical bills, which is where the money went. And I wrote the little book that went on to become something much more than a little book. And along the way, a lot of people have known that a movie was made of the book in 1999, 2 years after the book came out, by Oprah Winfrey. Beautiful movie. She did a great job. And Hank Azaria and Jack Lemmon played myself and Maury, respectively. And a lot of people know that movie. It was a very, very well-watched movie. It won a bunch of Emmy Awards, etc. What some people don't know is that 2 years and change after that, we created a play of Tuesdays with Maury that opened first in upstate New York, up in the Poughkeepsie area, I believe, as sort of an off, you know, this is what you do. You start them up there and you work them out. And first, I think it was in Connecticut at the Eugene O'Neill Theater. We set some public readings. Then they did a production by New York Stage and Film up in the Vassar College area. And eventually it was brought off Broadway, which was in November of 2002. So we're talking about 22 years ago. And it was a wonderful production with the great Alvin Epstein, who goes way, way back in theater, and John Tenney playing Maury and me. So the play was well received. It ran for a while in New York, and then it began a second life as a touring production that has seen hundreds of productions around the world. The play has been done all over America. I, at the beginning, Lisa, tried to go see all the different productions. I felt responsibility, seeing as I was here, Maury wasn't. So whenever I would hear, okay, they were opening, doing a version in Minnesota, I fly to Minnesota. They were doing a version in Chicago, fly to Chicago. They're doing a version in Seattle, flew to Seattle. And pretty soon it became apparent that I was either going to make a full-time job out of going to openings of the play, or I was going to have to pass.
Yeah, that would definitely be a full-time job, of which you already have 40.
Yeah. So I just watched with great satisfaction from afar as productions were done in China and Japan, and Australia and Sweden and Ireland and Israel. And I've seen some of them. in some of those countries. But, you know, many of them have gone, I can't really keep track. And as I say, it's been hundreds and hundreds of productions. So I get a call a few months ago from the actor Len Carreyrou. And some of you may know, if you're Broadway people, you know, Len Carreyrou originated the role of Sweeney Todd back in the days of Sweeney Todd was a new play, new musical. And he's a very venerable Broadway actor. He's also been in a lot of TV shows. He's still in that show with, is it Blue Bloods, I think, with it's a guy with the mustache, handsome guy with the mustache, Tom Selleck. Yeah. He plays his father. So anyhow, I knew Len, met Len many, many years ago. And he always said to me, I love that play, Tuesdays with Maury. One day I want to play Maury. And I get a call that they're going to do a New York City production, which is, I think, the first one that they've done since it was off-Broadway in 2002. And he said, would you come and see the production? And I said, all right, let me see what I could figure out. And Janine and I found a day that we could get in there. And we went in just about a week and a half ago and went in and saw this production, which was done by a group called the Sea Dog Theater. And they did a wonderful production of Tuesdays with Maury in a church.
Oh.
In a church. We had converted kind of to a theater. They had one prop, a piano. That was it. No curtains, no other props, no other things, you know, other than a chair. And they did the whole thing just around a piano and with a chair and did such a wonderful job of the play. And Chris Domig was the guy who played me, and Len played Maury, and he did a wonderful job. And it reminded me of how much I enjoyed the play, which in its way was at once very much like the book and what really happened, and in a way, you know, quite different. Mm-hmm. I always said that the play was the truest reproduction of what really happened between Maury and me, because a play is just two people on stage talking to each other. You know, a movie, you got to gussy it up a little bit. You know,
right,
and they
right,
did.
Right.
They had a bunch of other subplots and stories going on, music behind, you know, montages. There was no such thing in the play. The play was really just two people talking to one another, and that's what existed between Maury and me.
More intimate,
so,
right?
Yeah, exactly. More intimate. So I got the play here. And you see how small it is, Lisa. I'm sure. I mean, it's
yeah.
nothing.
I actually bought it before.
I have a copy.
It's yeah,
so
yeah.
small.
Yeah.
But I wanted
tiny
to share.
Tiny writing, yeah.
tiny writing, small book, tiny writing. So I want to share a few parts of it with you, which I've never done before. But I'm going to read you a few sections from it. If you imagine, there's just the character playing me and the character playing Maury. Maury comes out, the show begins with Maury dancing and Mitch playing the piano. And Maury does a bunch of different dances. And then they kind of step out in front of the piano and suddenly they're back to the day that I graduated from college. And Mitch says, spring, 1979, a hot, sticky Sunday afternoon in Waltham, Massachusetts. I'm wearing a blue gown and a mortarboard and have just been graduated from Brandeis University. Maury says, you thought you'd get out of here without a goodbye? Mitch, Maury's my sociology professor, my favorite professor. In my 4 years of college, I've taken every class he taught. Maury, this is true. I remember he was younger than the rest of my students. But I compensated. He'd wear these old gray sweatshirts. Yeah. And drive this beat-up Mercury Cougar around campus with the windows down and the music up. Yeah, yeah, I say. Yeah, yeah, Maury says. And what else did you do? Come on, tell them. Mitch says, I walked around everywhere with a cigarette in my mouth. Unlit, Maury says. He doesn't smoke. Such a tough guy. The truth is, I say, I almost never got to know Maury. The first day I come into class, the lights change. Maury repositions himself. It's an intro course. I planned on hiding in the background. There are only 9 students in the room. Way too intimate. If I cut class, they'll know I'm not there. Maury says, you, with the gray sweatshirt and the 3-month-old cigarette in your mouth, where are you going? To the registrar's office, I say. Maury, he was going to drop the class. Mitch, I was. album, Mitchell, is that you? Yeah, here. Maury, I have a question for you. Do you prefer Mitch or Mitchell? Mitch, still trying to be cool. Mitch is what my friends call me. Mitch it is then. And Mitch, I hope one day you'll think of me as your friend. Mitch says, so there was like no chance of dropping the chorus after that. Maury, nope. So this was the way it kind of goes on back and forth. You know, they talk to each other and they talk at each other. They talk to, you know, the audience. They go back and forth. And then, of course, I graduate from college and I go out into the world and I get busy and busy and busier and busier and busier and busier. And there's a section where the character playing me goes from wearing a t-shirt, you know, like in college, to starting to get dressed with a dress shirt and then a tie and then a jacket, you know. And as he's saying this, he says, I sold my keyboard. I went back to school, Columbia this time, master's degree, journalism, got a job as a sports reporter. I worked hard. I hustled and things caught on. And then they more than caught on. I was going to the Super Bowl, the World Series, the Olympics. I got a column and a bigger paycheck and a radio gig and a TV gig and a new house and an even bigger paycheck. And one day I woke up and said, this was meant to be. I was hatched out of the egg just like this. Whenever I got music magazines, mail from Brandeis, I threw it away. The past was the past. Forget it. And so I forgot my teacher.
We'll be back with more Tuesday People right after this.
Have you ever experienced turbulence on a flight and wondered why?
And you can see all the terrain around you. You've got no issue with visibility or anything?
No, everything's peachy.
Maybe you've sat on the tarmac for hours wondering why your plane isn't moving.
Well, we're outside here. They're saying the ramp is closed. They won't let us park because of Air Force One.
Listen in on the conversations between pilots and air traffic controllers on the Air Traffic Out of Control podcast.
510 is declaring an emergency. There's smoke in the cabin. I need to make a landing right now on 31 left.
We have the most interesting, wild, and funny ATC recordings you will ever hear. Check out Air Traffic Out of Control wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Welcome to another round of Boardroom or Miro Board. Today we talk retrospectives with Agile coach Maria. Let's go. First question. You've spent 2 hours in a team retro, but the only input you've heard is Dave's. Boardroom or Miro Board?
Boardroom. In Miro, Dave can't hog the space because everyone can add thoughts anonymously, online, at the same time.
Correct. Next. You need the team to act on feedback fast, so you turn all those retro notes into Jira tasks instantly.
Miro all the way. And I can assign those tasks to teammates.
You're nailing this. Now, you see hundreds of sticky notes from the retro. A real mess. But you organize them into 5 themes in just seconds.
Miro, I basically get back an entire hour when I use its AI tools for clustering.
And she's done it.
Join over 60 million people running actually enjoyable and actionable retros in Miro. Get your first 3 boards free at Miro.com. That's Miro.com.
And I might never have spoken or seen or heard from Maury Schwartz ever again had I not been surfing TV late one night when something caught my ear. And then you hear over the loudspeakers, dun, 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 dun. Good evening, I'm Ted Koppel, and this is Nightline. Just who is Maury Schwartz, and why, by the end of the night, are so many of you going to care about him? And then we go on, and it kind of presents, you know, Maury in the Nightline show, and then me calling Maury up for the first time and, you know, kind of getting guilted into going to see him. And, you know, I go and visit him for the very first time, and it's very awkward, you know. And I say, I talk about the Nightline program. I say, you did great on the show. How did that happen? Maury says, well, I'll tell you. This thing I've had has been coming on for a long time. ALS. And I say, Lou Gehrig's disease. Yeah. Remember the line? What line? From the movie. Gary Cooper is Lou Gehrig, and he's got Lou Gehrig's disease. And he goes in front of Yankee Stadium, and he says over the loudspeakers, today, day, day, I consider myself, the luckiest man, on the face of the earth. Yeah, well, I didn't say that, Maury says, which is actually exactly what he said. So there are sections of this where it's literally verbatim for what happened between Moore and Maury. And there's other ones where it's just funny. You know, there's a part where he asks, you know, have you found anyone to share this life with, this busy life with? And I, you know, meaning, you know, a woman. And I say, yes. And there's like this pause and he goes, have you named her?
Oh.
And I go, oh, Janine, you know, and she's a singer, Janine. And that was my partner, Jeffrey Hatcher. He came up with that line. I'm not that funny.
That was a good line.
It always gets a laugh when you're doing it. Yeah. And it just kind of goes on. And it was just such a beautiful production to see. And I told
that must
a funny,
be weird, by the way.
Well,
watching yourself in a play, somebody playing you.
Yeah.
That must be weird.
It is. And I've seen productions where Tracy Letts, I don't know if you know who Tracy Letts is. He's a playwright, brilliant playwright. Wrote August, Osage County, and the Superior Donuts, and all those things. I mean, brilliant screenwriter and playwright. Also, occasionally he acts, and he's really good. But he doesn't look anything like me. I mean, he's tall and blonde haired, you know, and very not Mitch looking, you know. Uh-huh. And he was in, I don't know if you saw the Lakers series that they just did. Showtime, the Lakers thing on HBO.
Oh yeah.
He played the coach before Paul Westfall and before Pat Riley got in there. I forget his name. But he doesn't. I mean, not a chance. You know, does he look like me? And I remember going backstage after I saw the play and saying, number one, you are way too talented to be playing me in a play. Why are you doing this? And he said, well, I like to play. I just wanted to play a part. I said, well, number two, do you see the difference between us? Like came up to like his chest, you know. So that's funny and it's fun to see. But it also is deeply satisfying to see the many ways in which this story can be presented.
Yeah.
Some of which have proven to be kind of funny. We went to Israel on a book tour. And it just so happened while we were in Israel, they were doing the show of Tuesdays with Maury in Tel Aviv, I think. Yeah.
Wow.
So Janine and I went to go see it. And it was in Hebrew. I can understand Hebrew, you know, to a decent degree. Janine doesn't speak it, so I was trying to translate a little bit. And as we're watching, of course, Tuesdays with Maury, there's only two actors in the show, myself and Maury. And that's how it's written. And as we're watching the show, I hear them referencing this word, Rachel. It keeps going, Rachel. And I said, I don't understand. I whispered to my wife, I don't understand something. She said, what? I said, they keep referring to Rachel. Rachel is a name. It means Rachel. It's a woman's name. Why are they, like, who are they talking about? She goes, I don't know. And all of a sudden, out comes an actress, Rachel, and it's supposed to be my wife.
Oh,
so I said, she goes, who's that? I said, that's you. And she came out and she sings The Very Thought of You, you know, which really happened when Janine went. But in the play, we just reference it. You know, we talk about it like, you know, it happened, you know, like it was invisible and you hear her singing on the loudspeakers, but you never see her. In the play, in Israel, they bring her out. She has lines and she sings. So now it's against the rules, the law, everything for you to change a play.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you. Yeah, Can you adapt it to your...
No.
Okay.
No, you cannot. You license the play as it is. So
that's
I went backstage afterwards to meet the actors and the director was there.
And Rachel.
Yeah, and her and Rachel. And you could tell when they saw me, it was like, uh-oh.
Oh, boy.
And they were like, had these sheepish smiles on their face. I said, well, that was a very good production. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I said, you do realize this is a two-person play, right? Yes, well, you know, and they go on this whole thing. We just thought it was so beautiful, the part where she sings, and we just thought that we should have an actress who should play this. I said, but you know you're not allowed to do that, right? Yes, but we thought it. I said, well, it's one thing to change my work, but it's another thing to create a character who plays my wife. Her name is Janine.
Yeah.
Why did you call her Rachel? And they say, well, you know, we cannot call her Janine. I said, why not? He said, well, you know what Janine is in Israel. I said, no, what? And apparently there was a terrible battle or military, kind of a massacre at this town of Janine. I think it's in a Palestinian territory or something like that. It was a very controversial black mark on in Israel's history, and it was, you just wouldn't call somebody Janine, you know. It was, it's like, I don't know, I'm trying to think of an equivalent, like Little Bighorn, you know,
yeah, or something, right,
like,
right,
or Milai or something. You wouldn't,
right,
just a location of some battle that was bad. So they said, you know, we can't call her that name. So Janine had the indignity of both having
poor Janine
herself replaced and then have her name changed
because of horrible connotations.
Because it didn't translate
oh,
well.
Lordy.
So we, you know, I've seen that version. I saw the Irish version where I couldn't really understand what they were saying because the accents were so thick.
Right.
But it just makes me very happy for Maury that he is being portrayed around the world on stage where people feel like they learn from him. And almost every time that I have seen this beautiful play, the actors end up saying to me, we've become such good friends as a result of this production.
Aww.
And the same thing has happened with this latest one in New York, which just closed. But I think they're talking about possibly bringing it to a bigger theater because it was so well received. And the two actors, Len Carreyrou and Chris Domig, are so lovely together. And they said to me, you know, we've become such good friends in this thing. And I said, well, that's what the play does. You know, that's what the story does. That's what the book does, and it's lovely to see that that's what the productions do too. And older men and younger men are becoming friends and closer and understanding each other
amazing.
As a result of it. Yeah. So if you ever get a chance to see the play, take it, because it's a really nice. I'm not saying that because I was part of it or whatever. It's just, it's a beautiful thing to watch two actors come together and see it be so real as it frequently is between these guys. And if you get to see that production in New York with Len Carreyrou, if they bring it back out, by all means, go and see it. So I can't believe it's taken us 202 podcasts for me to actually talk about the fact that there's this play or read from it, but it's out there. And
yeah, and people can buy the book, by the way.
They can buy the play, yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah, you can buy the play. It's on Amazon. I bought it there. And I wanted to just see how it differed since we do this podcast. And
well, one thing that, and I'll talk about it in next week's podcast, there was an incident that is true, but I did not write about in the book, that Maury had come to Detroit 10 years earlier, before he had ALS, and had come to Detroit and had seen my picture in the newspaper on a column that I had written, and so had found out that I was there and went back to Brandeis and wrote me a letter trying to get back in touch with me. But I threw out all the mail that came from Brandeis, you know, in kind of during those years, like, oh, I don't want to hear from them. You just want money, whatever. So I never got the letter. And it becomes a story point in the play. So I'll tell you the story about that in a podcast. We're going to talk about missed opportunities
and
how that one could have cost me dearly if I didn't happen to see Maury on the Nightline program.
I swear that is the, I think of that all the time. I know I've said that a million times. It's like, whoo, what timing.
What time. So thank you for indulging us on this theatrical version of Tuesday People Podcast. I hope you didn't mind my terrible acting. I have never aspired to be an actor, but
it was beautiful acting. You did fine.
Yeah, okay. We'll be here next week. You can find out more about us at WeTuesdayPeople.com on the web. Lisa Goetsch produces the program. I thank her for that. Until we have a chance to talk again, on behalf of Lisa, this is Mitch Albom saying, see you next Tuesday.
Thank you for listening to Tuesday People. To be part of our conversation, join the Tuesday People community at WeTuesdayPeople.com. Subscribe to our podcast so you don't miss an episode and share it with your friends. We look forward to having you with us every Tuesday because, after all, we're Tuesday people.